Just let those words wash over you here for a second.
I am yours. And let that sink deep just into your belly, that the God who created the universe, you are his. He has chosen you. He has washed you clean. He has made you his. That God left heaven and came to earth and died on the cross for you. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and pop them open. I'm just keeping this. This is my Zoom feed, so I can see those people, because if they chat anything to me, it's kind of like an amen. They say amen on there, so just so you know, you're free to say that in here too. Thank you. We are in Luke today, and the essential thing, so if you have your Bibles, get to Luke. We're going to be in chapter 1. The essential thing, and working with Pastor Scott, he calls me on when language is unclear. And we used to talk about the Bible story here at Promise, but he said, you got to talk about the narrative. Because when people think about story, they think about pretend. And this is real. See, what this is written to is we're talking about a real time in a real place that God shows up with a real mission, and it's real scary. That's the whole sermon. I realize that some of you zone out after 3 minutes, so that's my whole sermon. God shows up in a real time, in a real place, with a real mission, and it's real scary. Now, when somebody comes out that forcefully, if you keep saying, no, this is real, this is real, this is real, this is real, it's a huge hint that it's fake. But when you show people it's real, when you give them the nitty-gritty details, all of a sudden it becomes real. So when we're in Luke, you got to check out, and we don't get this because we're 2,000 years removed and we're in a different continent, but in Luke 1:26, and you may have heard this story 800 times, but hear the narrative fresh today. It says this, in the sixth month, let's put it in a real place, a real time. One of the things I've realized after being on sabbatical for 4 months is I'm walking into conversations. Anybody else ever do that? You get home and your wife and your daughter are having a conversation and you say something, but you don't have a context for what they're talking about and you look a little foolish. Anybody else? I'm just looking for a little support here. Yeah. Wow, it was so funny. All the dads are like, yep. Yeah, we do that a lot. In the sixth month of what? When you're reading your Bible, just reverse a little bit. What happened right before this in Scripture? In the sixth month, hit the next slide. In the sixth month, it had just talked about Elizabeth being pregnant. Elizabeth, her cousin, being pregnant, and Elizabeth's in her sixth month. That's what the baby looked like in her womb. Sixth month. The spine starts to develop. The lungs begin, can't read, and eyelids, and the baby weighs about 2 pounds. Any mamas out there? Yeah, you know exactly what this is. You know when that baby goes from an avocado to an orange to 2 pounds. See why? Because when somebody in your family is pregnant, that's what the entire time cycle revolves around. It was Elizabeth's sixth month. See, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel came from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. See, it was a real time in a real place. See, the region is Galilee. Galilee is the region. That's why they call it the Sea of Galilee. This is like Allen County. Are you with me? Allen County is Galilee. See, they were from Nazareth on the west side.
I think my friend from Compton's watching today, so I know right now he just said West Side. Just telling you what's happening in other parts of the world. Right, so this is just a quick sidebar. Nazareth is about an 8-hour walk from Capernaum. If you've been doing this faith thing for a long time, this meant when Jesus was raised in Nazareth, anybody know a Mediterranean diet? Have you heard of that? Yeah, what do they eat in the Mediterranean? Yeah, I heard it. Fish. Yeah, so where do you get the fish? Yeah, from the Sea of Galilee. From the Mediterranean Sea or the Sea of Galilee. When this one's an 8-hour walk, that probably means, because some things don't change over 2,000 years, that Joseph looked at Jesus and said, "Hey, boy, go get the fish." And Jesus walked into Capernaum. And he loaded up the donkey in the truck with the next month's supply of fish, because it was a daylight walk, and maybe Joseph gave him a couple bucks so he could spend the night. And my guess, this is just Henry personally talking, is he probably got to know the fisherman who he bought the fish from. Probably got to know the fisherman's kids. Probably knew James and John and Simon and Andrew. Because he went to the market. See, this is a real person in a real time, in a real place. And that's what those little details give you. See, in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God to Galilee in Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the house of David. See what it means to be of the house of David. Anybody have any friends from New York? Yeah, they let you know they're from New York. Right? They may have been living in Indiana for the... Sorry, Mom, I see you. I know you're on there. You do this. I love you. You know, hey, where are you from? Well, I live in Fort Wayne, but I'm from New York. You know, L.A. people do this too. Where are you from? Well, I'm living in Fort Wayne, but I'm from L.A. You know, it's amazing. See, Joseph is from the house of David. The house of David was all the way down in Bethlehem. That's where David was from. Yeah, David started the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, just a little bit north. See it there on the map? You got Bethlehem, you got Jerusalem, just a little bit north. But Bethlehem, we're talking, this is a 33-hour walk. If you can do 8 hours a day, you are in good shape. If you have enough water. Just saying. So what, that's a 4-day walk? Gladys knows what I'm talking about. Remember going down into Engedi? It's a little bit, it gets warm. Is that a good way to say it? Right, it gets warm walking this way, but they're from Bethlehem. That's their hometown. Real people living in a real time, in a real place. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. What does that mean when you hear it? See, in the King James, this is the way they say it. "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." What do you do with a greeting like that? What do you do when God tells you who you are? What did Mary do? This is a response. But when she saw him, she was troubled. Is that not intriguing? Would you rate this as the angel's message as a positive message or a negative message? It's a positive message. So why in the world is she greatly troubled? Yeah, it's an angel. I mean, that does it a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah, like it's an angel. Angels are mighty warriors. So part of it might be who's talking. Let's jump back. Let's flip backwards about 600 years to Jeremiah. Because see, this is one narrative. The Bible is one narrative. And I think there's a pattern here that we need to be acutely aware of. Jeremiah 1, it starts this way. I'm going to give you a second to get there. Let me check on my pals over here. Yep, Jim's there. I see you, Jim. Jim's got his Bible open, so all of you better now, too. Thank you, Jim. Or actually, thank you, Jim. Jim said you're welcome. The word of Jeremiah, the son of... Anybody got that one? Hilkiah? Heliah? Yeah, right. All of a sudden, this is where it gets confusing, because since the name's weird, we put it into story rather than narrative. It becomes less real when we don't know how to pronounce the name. So let's change it to Henry. The word of Jeremiah, the son of Henry. All of a sudden, it seems a little more real, doesn't it? One of the priests who were in Athon in the city of Benjamin. Let's just look real quick. Go ahead and click. See, Jerusalem is right over there. See the star? That's Jerusalem. You're all the way down south by the Dead Sea. Right? If you kept going up the Jordan River, you'd get to Galilee. But Jerusalem, if you look up and to the right, you're in Athon. Right? So that should tell you a whole bunch. Let me help you out. Where do priests work? Jerusalem. Right? A priest's job at this time is to sacrifice. And where's the priest working? An Athon. This tells you a ton about what's going on in a real time, in a real place. It also tells you that working from home and commuting in isn't a new thing. This is the first Zoom. What probably happened is he went in when he worked his shifts in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was the big city, which meant it was very expensive to rent there, and so he lived and kept his family over in Athon, and then went in and stayed when he was at work, and then went home on the weekend, or vice versa, because he was a priest. The word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, who was one of the priests in Athon in the land of Benjamin. Once again, Benjamin is Allen County. These are counties. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. If you want to learn about Josiah, Josiah was the king. They didn't know that it was 626 BC when they wrote this. Because time wasn't dated that way back then. So how did they date it? They said who the king was. This is what happened when this king was the king. Right? We do the same thing. Right? It's been how many months since the pregnancy? I know that it's 2020, but all that matters right now is they're in first grade. It was so great. I'm doing the reviews with the whole staff since I've been gone, and to talk about, hey, where are we going in promise for the next 2 years, for the next 6 years? Both Megan and Holly instantly did this. The first math they did was, where am I going to be in 2 years? Well, so-and-so is going to be 2 years older. But they didn't even figure it on 2 years older. They said, Lily's going to be in kindergarten. See, that's what's going on here, is they're situating in a real gritty way that it was Josiah. Josiah, who became king when he was 8 years old. You can read about that in Chronicles. 8 years old, he was king. Shortly thereafter, he had the priests cleaning out the temple. And when they were cleaning out all the money in the temple, because the priest had just been getting crazy rich, they got to the bottom of the pile of money, and they found the Bible. And they brought it to Josiah. And he's like, huh, that's neat. But that's not what this sermon is on. Come again? Yeah. How'd you get that, Gladys? Yeah. In the 13th year of Josiah's reign. That means this kid's 21. This means your country's been led by a leader who's now still a little wet behind the ears, but he's got 13 years experience. And that's when God comes to Jeremiah. And how's God start with Jeremiah there in verse 5? Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. To a real kid with a real dad living in a real place under a real king, God comes and says, this is who you are. I picked you. I knit you together. I put you in this real time, in this real place for a real mission. See, when we hear who we are, we almost naturally know what the mission is going to be. You see a kid who's in eighth grade and they're already 6'7", the question you're asking them is, what sport do you play? When you see somebody doing math when they're 8 years old, you're getting them into a STEM program so they can either make it to Mars or solve the world's health issues. See, when God looks at you, he knit you together in a certain time, in a certain place, in 2020, in Promise, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, or New Haven, or Warsaw, or Florida, or Compton, with a mission. And see, I think a lot of times we react the same way Mary did, and it's the same way Jeremiah did. What's Jeremiah's reaction when he hears this? Jeremiah says, do not say that. I'm only a kid. Here's my weakness. Here's where I'm short. Here's where I'm not enough. Anybody else do that? Can I get a little amen? Anybody else hold that child for the first night when they were in the hospital and you went, how in the world am I gonna not ruin this kid? I'm putting together some Christmas presents, and I got instructor's manuals that are about this thick in four languages. And I think when I left the hospital with both my girls, they forgot to give me one of those. And that's how it is with God. God looks at you and goes, I have put you at a real time, in a real place, with a real mission. And if you ain't real scared, you're probably missing the mission. Let's hit click. James 1:22. James says, thanks, John. Got another amen online, just saying. James 1:22 says, don't just hear the word of God, do what it says. What's your real place? I mean, let's get dirty. Let's get specific. What's your real place? It's in this kitchen with these chefs. What's your real place? It's in this hospital with these doctors and these nurses. What's your real place? It's at this school with these kids. What's the real you? How's God knit you together? See, God is calling you to a mission. And I'm amazed how many people, when they get real honest, they own that it's real scary. I got this guy that I work with, and I know he doesn't know the Jesus narrative. In fact, I know that he's had some stuff that happened years ago that beat him up inside, and that's when he walked away from the church because somebody said something that God's put him in your real life. For a real reason. How do you share the real narrative? with Jesus, or of Jesus, in the place where you are right now. And it all starts, don't miss this, it all starts with the first message that God has for you. God picked you. God loves you. God sees where you have messed up in the past, and he doesn't ignore that. He went to the cross for it. And so when we let that just simmer over us, what were the opening words that we started with? I know it's been a long time. 21 minutes. Timmy, are you out there? You got a better voice for me. Can you do that a cappella? Come here. I want to sing us out with these words. And to my friends on Zoom, let me give you the benediction and then we'll pray. But the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his face on you and give you his peace. Go in that peace. Tim, just hit it up.
I am yours. 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 I am yours.
Good and gracious God, we are yours. And you love us. You forgive us. You renew us. God, you know our doubts and our hurts and our pain. You entered into them. But God, you see us, the child that you knit together, the child that you redeemed on the cross. God, let us live into that identity. And God, we know your kingdom's one of healing, so bring that healing. We agree, bring it quickly, Lord. And God, shape us and mold us and teach us, just like you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.